name is Lainey Zuger, and you're listening to another interview from my project, 2020 Summer Stories. This interview features Cecilia Bagnoli. She spent her summer in Kentucky, Iowa, and Alaska. We discuss family relationships, frustrations with inconsistent COVID guidelines, and Black Lives Matter protests.
My name is Cecilia. I'm 20 years old, and I actually spent this summer in multiple different states. So I was in Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Is it okay to give some background before May?
1,000%, yeah.
Okay, because I don't want to like mess anything up.
No,
but
fine, yeah.
Okay. So at the start of the pandemic, I went to live with my dad in Iowa. So I stayed there in Iowa until around May 15th. And then I actually traveled to Kentucky, where my mom lives, with my sister, who had actually come back to the United States from India because she's been living there for 6 years. So we actually had to work out logistics because she was trying to actually lead COVID contact tracing and for the entire city of Philadelphia through her program. So she was doing that online the entire summer. So that was a big part of my summer. She would just be like in the living room leading contact tracing. So I traveled here with her, and it was during that time, actually, where I think two things emerged. One was, I'd call it COVID conflict, where different views of how you should handle COVID kind of started to emerge, because I think at my dad's house, we all had very similar views, even though my dad was probably a little more strict than I was. You know, we didn't go out, we worked from home, we didn't see friends, we only went on walks. And then I think when we got here to where I was living with my mom, she had a different view on COVID, and that caused, I'd say, some conflict. So my mom actually is a teacher and also cleans houses on the side. And, you know, it became a matter of, her, should she be cleaning houses or not anymore? And my sister had her thoughts on that. My mom had her thoughts on that. And that kind of caused some conflict in the house, just in terms of how often should we be going out? Who should we be seeing? Should we be seeing friends? So that's when I first started to realize, okay, people have different views on this, and it's hard to be in the same household when so many people have different views. And the other thing that started to emerge, I think, was, of course, Black Lives Matter. And that is something that we didn't have different views on. All three of us are in support of Black Lives Matter. And I actually participated in my first protest ever in Berea, Kentucky, which is a red area. So it's like we're a little blue dot in a red area. And that was a really important experience to see my mom and my sister, like, yelling the chants and saying them loudly, and just in this town where my mom is a teacher and my sister went to high school here. And it was just, that meant a lot to me to see, especially my mom, you know, like, taking a stance on Black Lives Matter in a place where those views are not widely accepted. So anyway, moving on kind of from that, like, era of the summer, we then traveled back to see my dad in Iowa, like minimal stops on the way there and that sort of thing. And there, when we got to Iowa, I have three siblings. So my other sister, not the one leading the contact tracing, but the nurse, lives in Wisconsin, and she went to visit my dad, which was kind of a controversial topic to begin with, because he wasn't sure if she should be in the house because, you know, she's been around. My sister had a really, I guess, close experience with COVID, and or firsthand experience, I mean, with COVID. And she's had patients pass away from COVID. And so he wasn't sure if she should be in the house, but they ultimately decided they would have her visit. And again, like, the emotions were very much so there because they required her to wear a mask. My dad didn't want to hug her. He wanted them to stay in separate parts of the room. He didn't want her snacking in the same room. And I think that was another high tension, high emotion point in the summer, because my sister felt like, you don't want to be around me. And here I am caring for these patients all summer. And I feel like my job is really important. And I feel like because of my job, you don't even want to be around me. And it just, it really brought in that human element of COVID, because I feel like so often we hear about the numbers and this many people have passed, this many people have COVID or have been tested positive for COVID. And I feel like seeing my sister's reaction was also a very, like, really brought that human element of, like, she's seen these patients up close and personal and met their families and all of that. And then to see how my dad interacted with that and how that made her feel was really interesting. But after that, we then traveled back to Kentucky. There's a lot of traveling in this, to be with my mom again. And for a while there, I would say, again, it was just a matter of, like, staying inside and doing what I thought was best here. And then tensions kind of got high again with COVID when my grandma started to not do well. So she wasn't doing super well, and she was in the hospital and the nursing home. And then it kind of became an issue of, should we go up and visit her? So again, there was like this conflict with, like, how long have you been quarantining before you can go visit her? And is it appropriate for us to visit her? And we ultimately decided we'll wait longer to go visit her. And when we did, we wore masks and kept our distance and that sort of thing. And actually, that was more toward the end of the summer. And then while I was there is when I decided to go to Alaska for the semester. That's when I was getting all the emails from Sarah Bolton about going back to school or not. And so that was an emotional time for me personally, just trying to figure out what I was going to do and how long it was going to be until I saw my friends again. But I ultimately decided to go to Alaska and spend part of the semester there. And pretty much from there, I left for Alaska, and that was kind of the end of my summer.
Cecilia often brought up her family members, so I asked what her role was during those tough COVID conversations.
I think my family deems me, they like to say I'm the reasonable one. So with my sister, I would say, and my dad, in that role, I played the comforting, like, sympathizing role. Like, knowing that, yes, my sister could have COVID and she could infect me, I still hugged her and I still talked to her because I felt like that mattered more, because I do respect the work she does so much. And it really, it affected me that she felt so isolated from the family. And so I'd say in that role, I played the comforter or the, and I didn't try to reason, like, oh, dad's just doing this because X, Y, Z. I just tried to more so sympathize with her side of it. I would say with my mom and my sisters, because my two sisters, the contact tracer and the nurse, are telling my mom, don't go to Wisconsin to see my grandma. And my mom is like, well, my mom is sick. Should I go now? I would say more than anything, I played the mediator, just as in, you know, I tried to say, okay, look at the facts, look at the recommendations, this is what's happening, and not really offer advice one way or the other to either person, and I tried to stay as neutral as possible in that conflict, just offering fact rather than emotion, I would say, for that situation.
I then followed up on this recurring theme in her story by asking what could have been done differently to avoid these conflicts.
I think a problem that I've noticed is there's a lot of inconsistency with how COVID is handled in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that very much so showed up in my family and our interpersonal relationships, because I think for my sister, I think it also plays into your expectations of what other people should be doing. And if you don't think they're doing what you would do, then that leads to these like high emotions. So I think for my dad and my sister, you know, she expected to be welcomed into the home. She's been caring for these patients. Like, and my dad saw it as, these are the facts, you could infect us. And I think he was looking at it from like a fact perspective. She was looking at it emotionally, and they just had different expectations for how that should be handled. And so, and that was obviously the case for my sisters and my mom too. And I think when it comes down to it, if there were, you know, a foundational, like a way to know what is exactly the right thing to do, then that might not be a problem. I think it was a lot of what's right and what's wrong. And there was no, for everyone involved, whether or not I agreed, they couldn't come to a conclusion on what was right.
With both of her sisters seeing COVID up close and personal all summer long, I was curious what kinds of things she learned about the virus in real time.
So Liliana is the contact tracer. I'll just call her by her name now. And that side of it was more technology based, because she works for, it's like software development, mm-hmm. Company, nonprofit. And so that, for me, I didn't so much learn about like COVID, but more of like all that goes into something like a pandemic, like how is this being handled and what is required of people when a pandemic happens, and just how quickly that came about. Like, this was a new project for her, obviously, and she had to quickly get into that role of being a contact tracer, which is something she had obviously never done before. And I think that gives me a new perspective on, wow, what all goes into a vaccine and all of that. And I know there's people like my sister that I'll never know the names of them, and I know they've put in a lot of work to this new project that's been bestowed upon them without any warning. So it's more of just looking at how all the work that goes into a pandemic and trying to stop a pandemic. And with my other sister, Marina, the nurse, you know, I really got the human element from her. Like, she told me a story about a couple who, they both had COVID actually, but one of the man was actually dying in his hospital bed and had to be taken down in an elevator. He was taken down in an elevator and died in his wife's arms in the parking lot of the hospital. From her, I really got that, again, the emotion, the human element to COVID. And that's, those kinds of stories are what made me bring it into reality more of like, okay, this is very serious. And so that, yeah, they kind of operated on different, like they were both very involved with COVID, but in very different ways.
Next, I asked the question I ask all of my participants. What kind of media were you consuming over the summer?
I actually don't watch the news. We don't have cable at my house. So I like to use, I think I'm connected to like New York Times, I think Washington Post, and some CNN. I don't like to use CNN a lot. But I would say those three news networks were, those are the ones I have connected on my phone, and that's how I'd actually get news. But the interesting thing about that is I'm exhausted by the news. Or I found that I was, especially at the start of the pandemic. And so I actually tried to avoid it. Mm-hmm. Not on Facebook or social media or anything, but just in terms of like actual journalism. And I would more so rely on my dad, he actually works for a college. He's vice president of admissions at Grinnell College. Okay. And so they were working on their COVID plan. And he would give me the most recent information, like at dinner. And that would be like, okay, here's what's happening.
I shifted gears to ask her to go into detail about her experience at the Black Lives Matter rally she attended.
As we were driving into town, into Kentucky, my sister and I, to visit my mom, we saw a Black Lives Matter protest. And I was like, turn around, like, I want to go and like honk and show support. And she's like, no, I want to go home. And I was like, no, we need to turn around. And so we turned around and we honked in support. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, I want to I want to be involved. And we asked my mom if she wanted to participate, and she said yes, which made me really happy, because I think my mom is not super like politically like involved, and she's just not super interested in it, I think. But it meant a lot to me that this, it didn't matter, like this wasn't politics to her, it was like a human issue. Mm-hmm. And that she was willing, because my mom's a very quiet, like quiet person, and so am I. And so it just meant a lot that she was willing to go and like stand on the street and protest. And so it was actually a small protest, and I'd say there were only about like 20 people there, and it was organized by one woman. And at the end we had like a lighting of candles of sorts, which was really nice. But I'd say during it, the support we received was more than I expected in this area. But there are, of course, some of those, I think, all lives matter and that sort of thing. And I think as disappointing as those comments were, it was nice to walk away seeing that more people honked in support, more people cheered, more people held up their fist in unison than did not. And for me, that kind of changed my perspective on the community, because I, in a way, dismissed it as only being like conservatives or people that wouldn't care. And that kind of, in my mind, I was like, okay, people do support this. People are in the right mindset on it. And so, yeah, it was overall a good experience, yeah. I thought.
Finally, I asked what made her decide Alaska was the best place for her to start the semester.
I think I was already kind of hesitant to go back to campus. I was just worried about how soon they would send us back and how long we'd actually get to stay on campus. And so considering that, I was like, okay, maybe it'd be best for me to just get an Airbnb somewhere and just travel somewhere and stay there and be safe and not have to worry about all the back and forth. And I was talking about that with one of my friends who's from Alaska, and she was like, well, I'm going to do the same thing if all of my classes are remote. And I was like, oh, great. You know, we won't be the only ones not going back to campus. She's like, wait, we could live in my second house in Alaska. And I was like, okay, like I'm down. And actually probably less than a week from that point, I had my ticket booked, my flight booked, and decided to go. Yeah, it was a very small town, like on the Kenai Fjords, and we stayed in her house. It had Wi-Fi. It had everything we needed. We just needed to go out to get groceries. So social distancing and all of that was not a problem. And the cases were very low in Alaska, which also made me feel a lot better going there. And I knew that people, my friend had shared that people were really good about wearing masks and all that and being considerate. So my family also felt comfortable sending me there, knowing it'd be safer there than most places. So, yeah.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to check out more stories at worcesterdigital.org/2020summerstories.